Chapter 11 University of Dar es Salaam. The university's central campus sat northwest of the city center on a hill. Having called ahead, Sam and Remy found the library's director, Amida Kilembe, a beautiful black woman in a fern-green pantsuit, waiting to greet them on the steps. "Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Fargo. Welcome to our facility." Pleasantries were exchanged as Ms. Kilembe took them up the steps and through the main doors, at which point she gave them a walking tour of the building, which eventually took them to the third-floor reference area. The decor was a mixture of old-world colonial and traditional African. Dark furniture and paneling that glowed from decades of polishing, surrounded by splashes of colorful Tanzanian art and artifacts. Save a few of the library staff, the building was empty. "It's a school holiday," Ms. Kilembe explained. "We're sorry," Sam said. "We thought..." "Oh, no, no. For the staff, it is a regular work day. In fact, as chance would have it, you've chosen the perfect day to visit. I myself will be assisting you." "We don't want to impose," Remy said. "I'm sure you have other..." Ms. Kilembe smiled broadly. "Not at all. I have read of and enjoyed several of your exploits. I will, of course, keep my silence about what we discuss here today." She touched an index finger to her lips and winked. "If you'll follow me, I have a quiet room set aside for you." They followed her to a glass-enclosed room, in the center of which sat a long walnut table and two padded chairs. Before each chair sat a 20-inch Apple iMac computer. Ms. Kilembe saw their surprised expressions and chuckled. "3 years ago, Mr. Steve Jobs himself visited the campus. He saw that we had very few computers and all of them old, so he made a generous donation. We now have 40 of these wonderful machines, and broadband internet." "Very well, I will let you get started. First, I will bring you coffee. I have you both set up with guest logins for the catalogs. Most of our materials have been digitized back to 1970. Those that have not been will be in our basement archives area. You tell me what you need, and I will bring it. So, good hunting." And then Ms. Kilembe was gone, pulling the door shut behind her. "Where do we start?" Sam wondered aloud. "Let's check in with Selma." Sam double-clicked the iChat icon on the screen and typed in Selma's address. The computer's eyesight camera turned green, and in 10 seconds Selma's face appeared on the screen. "Where are you?" she asked. "University of Dar es Salaam." Behind Selma, Pete and Wendy were sitting at the work table. They waved. Remy said, "We're getting ready to dig in. Do you have anything for us?" "The last search is finishing now." On screen, Pete walked across to a computer workstation, tapped the keyboard a couple times, then called, "Coming over to you, Selma." Sam and Remy watched as Selma studied the document, her eyes darting across the screen. At last, she said, "Not much there. We checked all the major shipwreck databases and found only 18 sites in the waters around Zanzibar. We even extended the grid 50 miles on all compass points. Of the 18, 14 are identified, and only one of those comes even remotely close to the assumed same time frame as the Ophelia." "Go on." "The Glasgow, commissioned in 1877 after the Sultan of Zanzibar lost his fleet to the 1872 storm. It was delivered in the summer of 1878, but the Sultan was unimpressed, so it sat abandoned and unused at anchor off Zanzibar until the Anglo-Zanzibar War of 1896, when the British sunk her with naval gunfire. In 1912, the wreck was reduced to her bottom frames by a salvage company, and the majority of the pieces dumped at sea. In the 70s, the Glasgow's engine block, propeller shaft, some crockery, and a few 9-pound shells were found on the site."
"Where's the site?" Remy asked.
"About 200 yards off the Stonetown beach. In fact, you were within sight of it at the restaurant the other night."
So, about 15 crow's miles from where we found the Ophelia's bell, Sam said. So scratch the Glasgow. What else?
4 of the wrecks in the database are unidentified. 1 is sitting in the Pangani River, 35 miles to the north. The next 2 are in Tonga Bay, 50 miles to the north. The last 1 is sitting off Bongoyo Island in Dar es Salaam's Msasani Bay. As far as I can tell, none of them is any deeper than 30 feet.
30 feet of clear water, Sam added. We'll check with area dive shops. Chances are someone's identified them but never bothered to say anything. Probably nothing more than dive attractions now.
Sorry I came up empty, Selma said.
You didn't, Remy replied. Ruling out is just as important as ruling in.
2 other things. Mrs. Fargo, you were right about those names. They are Nahuatl, traditional Aztec names. For what it's worth, it's been something of a trend in Mexico City for the last few years.
The Mexica Tenochca party, Remy finished. She saw Sam's confused expression, then added, The current president is an uber-nationalist, a pre-Spanish invasion nationalist. Aztec names, history courses taught in schools, religious observances, art.
In addition to everything else, Rivera and his pals are political zealots, Sam replied dryly. Just what we need.
What else, Selma?
I studied the pictures of the bell you sent. I assume you noticed the clapper.
You mean that it's missing? Sam asked.
We noticed.
Sam disconnected, then turned to Remy. So, newspapers? She nodded. Newspapers.
Sam and Remy were believers in the pyramid theory of research. Start with the top of the pyramid, the specific, and work your way down to the base, the general. The first search terms they tried were Ophelia, wreck, and discovered. Not surprisingly, all they got were stories Selma had covered. Next, they tried famous, shipwrecks, and Zanzibar, and got the expected results. Fluff stories about the Glasgow and the El Majidi, another ship belonging to the Sultan of Zanzibar that had been lost during the 1872 hurricane, and the HMS Pegasus, sunk in 1914 following a surprise attack by the German cruiser Königsberg. Ms. Kilembe returned with a carafe of coffee and 2 mugs, asked if they needed anything, then disappeared again. Remy said, We forgot Chumbe Island, Sam. We're assuming the BBC interview brought Rivera here.
Right. Sam combined the previous search terms with Chumbe Island and got 0 hits. He tried again with the terms diving, artifact, and discovery. He scrolled through the stories, then stopped.
Huh, he muttered. What?
Probably nothing, but it's curious.
2 months ago, a British woman named Sylvie Radford was found murdered in Stonetown, an apparent mugging gone wrong. She'd come to do some diving off Chumbe. Listen to this. According to the woman's parents, Ms. Radford had been having a wonderful diving vacation, having already found several artifacts, including what she thought might be part of a Roman-style sword.
A Roman-style sword, Remy repeated. Interesting. Her words or the reporters, do you think?
I don't know. Either way, it's a pretty specific description. Most laypeople would just say sword.
Remy leaned closer to the screen, then jotted down the reporter's name.
It might be in her notes.
Sam started tapping the keyboard again, this time with some urgency. Into the search box, he entered Southern, Zanzibar, diving, and death, and set the time frame from present day to 10 years earlier. Dozens of stories appeared on the screen.
Let's split them up, Remy said, then typed the terms into her own search box.
Start with the oldest?
Sam nodded. In years 10 through 8, 4 deaths were linked to their search terms. In each case, however, independent eyewitness reports confirmed they were accidental.
One shark bite, one diving mishap, and two vehicle accidents, both involving alcohol. Here, Remy said, 7 years ago, two people, both tourists on diving vacations. Where exactly? It just says the southwest coast of Zanzibar. One of them was killed by a hit-and-run driver. The other one fell down some steps in Stone Town. No alcohol involved, no witnesses. 6 years ago, Sam said, reading from the screen, two dead. One suicide, one drowning. Again, no witnesses. And so it went with year five up to the present day. Tourist divers, most of them spending time near or around Trumbe Island, dying in strange accidents or muggings gone wrong. I count five, Remy said. I've got four, replied Sam. They were silent for a few moments. Remy said, has to be a coincidence, right? Sam simply stared at his screen, so Remy said, otherwise, what are we saying? Rivera and whoever he works for have been murdering divers that show an interest in Trumbe Island? No, it can't be that. They would number in the hundreds, the thousands. Maybe it's the people who declare their finds, or take them to local shops for identification. If we're right about this, these people have to have something else in common. They told someone about what they found, Remy offered. And it was the right kind of artifact, something to do with the Ophelia, or the ship with the blotted-out name. Either way, if she'd sunk off Trumbe, artifacts would be washing up on the beach. Every monsoon, there would be debris just sitting on the bottom, waiting for someone with a ping-pong paddle to come along. True, said Sam, but there are plenty of people who find something and never mention it. They go home and put it on their mantle as a souvenir. In fact, that describes most casual treasure divers. They find something, make a minor effort to identify it, but if it's not something obviously treasure-ish, they treat it as a keepsake. Our week in Zanzibar. This is a huge leap we're talking about, Sam. I just remembered something. Rivera said he's been looking for the Ophelia for 7 years. About the same time the strange deaths started. Exactly. I need to call Rube. We need to find out how good Tanzanian immigration and customs are at record-keeping. Sam made the call and explained their request to an incredulous but willing Rube Haywood, who said, so your theory is that Rivera was in Zanzibar around the time all the deaths would have taken place? It's worth a shot. Even if the records don't show he was here every time, he may not have traveled under his own name. I'll look into it. Wouldn't hold your breath. Sam thanked him and disconnected. A few minutes later, Ms. Kilembe knocked on the door and peeked her head inside. Do you need anything? They thanked her and declined. She was turning to leave when Sam asked, Miss Kilembe, how long have you been with the library?
30 years.
And how long in this area?
All my life. I was born in Fumba, on Zanzibar.
We're looking for anything on a ship called Ophelia. Does that name mean anything to you?
Miss Kilembe furrowed her brow. After 10 seconds of thought, she said, I assume you've been to the Blaylock already?
The Blaylock?
The Blaylock Museum in Bagamoyo. There's a charcoal sketch there of a ship. Unless my memory fails me, the ship's name is Ophelia.